Abby.
And I'm Allie.
And it's
About Time for True Crime.
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
Doing lovely, yourself?
Ooh, I'm doing great. It's a Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday.
It's a recording day. It's a pod drop day.
So it's a great day.
It's an amazing
day. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
I have to say, I've been feeling good.
Ooh.
I had a moment.
Okay.
In the last couple of weeks where I was laying in bed.
Love.
My fiance was next to me.
Cute.
We had one cat laying on our legs.
Oh.
The other one, the kitten, who is normally always present for recording. He's just usually sleeping on a chair next to us. If you ever hear a kitten, it's him. he's running around playing with a toy.
Oh.
And I'm just kind of there and I'm like, it's the little things.
Oh, yeah.
I just, my heart felt full.
Mm.
And I love my cats.
Yeah.
I love my family. I love my friends. I love the people that are in my life. And having him there, and I was just like, oh, my cup hath poured over.
I love that.
So it's just one of those, take a minute, be thankful for what you have, you know.
All the time.
Yeah.
I think. I mean, I have you in my life, so what else could I want?
Retweet.
Fucking tweet.
Back at ya.
I love that, though. And I think it's so important, especially around this time of year, like, it's dark. Mm-hmm. Everybody's in the throes of seasonal depression because winter is still strong, but the holidays are over and we're all just like begging spring to be here.
It's cold and miserable and dead out and the ground is frozen and there's still snow and we can still get more snow, but I'm gonna try to focus on the positives and try to just be grateful for what I have, because we spend so much time being upset about what we think we don't have.
Right. Oh, hello, Mia.
Mia, could you?
She said, tell the pod fam I say hi.
Oh, and she just typed all over
my
notes for today.
Oh, are you helping?
Thanks, Mia.
She's so cute. Anyway, you guys.
So this episode was actually put on by me and my research assistant,
Mia.
Miss Mia, who is, I think, going to take a nap on the table.
Yes, girl.
So that's just wherever you want. Don't let us interrupt.
Kay. Anyway, that's the third co-host introduction.
Correct.
Say hey to Mia. So are you like more of an Allie and Abby or a Mia?
Mia's more of the silent type. Yes. So if that's you.
Allie and I are more of like the
Mia. She tells the greatest stories, though. Yeah. She loves to walk around talking and everything and jumping out at me.
If you guys want to see Mia, you should look at our Instagram, though.
You should.
She is a pod pet. Ooh, which you should send yours to.
We should always have the pod pets.
Yes. And while you're there, why wouldn't you just like throw a little like, a little follow?
A friend, maybe. I don't know.
Click on our link tree. Maybe give us a review.
That's just me.
I mean, I'm just telling you what I would do if I were there. I would immediately look up pictures of Newton and Mia, and then I would go do all those things.
Correct.
But to each their own.
Yes. I should put a picture of Oliver on there. I haven't done
that. Yeah, the baby.
My little baby.
The baby.
You're my little baby.
Okay.
All right. Should we get into it?
We absolutely should. Okay. I'm so excited because I know nothing and I have not heard true crime lately that I know nothing about other than here. So.
Yes. I know you actually know nothing about this. So I'm very excited. So skipper, stop skipping.
Yoo-hoo. Pod's on.
Hi, hello, and welcome back to your favorite true crime podcast.
Aww.
We love hanging out with you in our little cozy corner of the true crime world.
You guys shouldn't have.
Today, I was feeling like I needed a case that wasn't going to make me cry every other sentence. And I feel like we've been on a roll with those.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we cover challenging cases on this podcast. And it's a true crime podcast. We wouldn't be doing it right if we didn't provide the details that we could find. And we didn't learn what we can.
Exactly.
But I thought we could talk about a bit of a lighter case. Not that it's completely without devastation or horrible shit.
Okay.
But it's just a lighter dose.
Fair. And I think that's important. It's been a heavy few cases we've done back to back to back.
It is. So I figured we'd take a little trip.
Okay.
We're going to go time traveling.
Ooh, I'd love to go with you.
I'm going to go to New York City.
Ooh.
But we'll get there. We'll get there. Real quick, sources today include mostly almost everything is New York Times articles because this happened where?
New York City.
Also, articles from the New Yorker. I used the Paranormal Catalog, which was actually a pretty cool resource. Gizmodo, which was new to me, and many others that are always linked below, just so you guys know. We never announce every single source, but we always have them linked, so you can find them.
Yeah, we like you guys to be able to know where we're getting our stuff from.
Correct. So today's case is about two women.
Ooh, okay.
Pearl Lusk.
Okay.
And Olga Rocco.
Amazing names. Yes. We're already so strong. Okay.
And these women could not have imagined how their lives would cross paths.
Okay.
But they did.
Ooh.
So we're going to start with Pearl.
Yes, Pearl.
Pearl Lusk was from Quakertown, Pennsylvania, and she had attended Quakertown High School in 1946. And then after that school year ended in the spring, she realized that she needed a change.
Okay, Pearl.
And that desire for change inspired Pearl to move to New York City.
Okay.
Or should I say New York?
New York.
No.
No.
You'll get there.
Maybe.
Abby's new to the New England accent.
I'm new in town.
Yeah, see that right there? That wasn't it.
No, I didn't think it was. That wasn't meant to be.
I know. I've said on the pod a few times that I was born in the wrong time in terms of style and entertainment, and I love the 40s and 50s, that pinup Americana, red lipstick, pinup retro, vintage,
high-waisted, sweetheart,
polka dots,
halter tops,
all of it, kitten heels, give me more.
Yes.
I'm not saying that I envy being a woman in that time period, but I will say that the style and the visual and the feel of that time is something I wish I could have experienced in real life. And instead, I just have to go to vintage-inspired things or retro-inspired things.
Yeah. We'll be vintage just, one day. Don't worry.
But it's not going to be the same, because it can be like, remember an iPhone? And I don't want that. I want, like, remember little shakes and, yeah, like, yummy...
And jukeboxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm never going to have that. That's upsetting. Anyway, to give you an idea of the time, yes, in 1946, some new releases in film were the movie Notorious, starring Cary Grant, who I love, and Ingrid Bergman, My Darling Clementine, starring Henry Fonda and Linda Darnell, cute, and It's a Wonderful Life, starring James Stewart and Donna Reed.
That's my mom's favorite Christmas movie.
It's a Wonderful Life?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Mrs. Abbledabbleson.
Anyway, sorry.
And I imagine that if I were around, I'd naturally just be listening to Frank Sinatra, because yeah, I do that now. So why wouldn't I then?
Take,
you know what I'm saying?
Take me to the moon, you know?
No. Take me.
Yeah, he can take you. That's fine.
I want to be flown. Fly me.
Ooh, love.
Okay? Thanks, Frankie. Anyway, so in the fall of 1946, Pearl had actually moved from her home with her dad and into the home with her mom and her stepdad.
Oh, okay.
They lived in Brooklyn.
Yes.
So she stayed with them for a bit. And after saving up, she got her own little studio apartment, which I think is saying it very nicely. I think it was like a room,
like that a shoebox.
Yeah, that she got. But she could afford it and it was her own.
Fair.
She was 19. She was enjoying this new freedom that she'd never felt before. She started wearing mascara for the first time. She got rid of the bangs that she'd had. She sported these long blonde curls.
Ooh.
She looked different. She felt different. She redecorated her little apartment so that it was different in her and her new style.
I love this for Pearl.
She'd never lived on her own. In a matter of months, she had found independence.
Yeah.
She'd found new styles. She'd made new friends. Mm-hmm. And she had her own income.
That's huge.
So she was really enjoying things. She was working at a department store and she loved every minute of it. She loved this job, and we'll talk more about it, because she actually made friends with all of the girls that worked in retail with her.
Nice.
They kind of all got hired as like counter girls and all about the same age. And this sort of became her sole source of socializing.
Yeah.
Remembered. And not that I think we're great at socializing now. I'd argue that I think our generation is like so much more awkward and not good at socializing in person because of all of the online media socializing we do. But remember that there was no way to like meet people on Facebook. There wasn't a Snapchat, like, little location. I don't know. What do the kids do these days?
There's no Bumble BFF.
Okay? Yeah, there was no way that you were going to meet people other than actually going out there and striking up a conversation with them. And that's weird and awkward, and it's really hard to make friends as an adult. It's so painfully awkward. I feel like if you didn't grow up with them or know them in college, you don't know anybody now.
Yep.
So it's this really weird sort of time in her life, but she ended up kind of hitting the ground running. She loved the girls that she worked with.
Yeah.
She ate lunch with them. Aww. And then they all got together for dinner after work, and her landlady was almost constantly calling her down to the phone because she'd had calls from these friends. And so
that's so,
you know,
cute.
Obviously she didn't have a phone or, you know, she gets called down, like, you gotta call, you know, and she like
scurries,
like little skips down the little stairs.
Mm.
You know, and just what a sweet little time she had, right?
It also is just such a sweet spot, it sounds like. Like, especially when you're making one of those big moves, for all of those things to be happening at once, it, I'm sure, felt like such a relief and like such a fresh page, like a clean slate, you know?
It was. And she was doing it on her own. She was doing it herself. And she'd never done that. And she was naive and young and, you know, but she was making it work. She was determined. And she loved getting to socialize. She loved the socialization aspect that work gave her, because
right.
She got to meet people. She met people her age. She met customers. She met other people. You know, people were spending money. She's, you know, she's getting access to this, which was a far cry from where she grew up.
Right.
So she started going on dates.
Ooh, yes,
she went
girl.
Out with a couple of guys that she met through work. I don't know that they were exactly employees or she just met them while she was working, but either way,
right,
she had a couple of dates.
Yes.
In her free time, she talked with her family over the phone, which, I mean, she still maintained a good relationship with her family. It wasn't like she was running away from them, but she was certainly branching out and doing well, but still maintained contact, you know.
Fair.
She loved to read mystery books and detective stories for fun. Pearl's someone I would have been friends with.
One
I know.
One of us. I feel like the aliens.
I imagine her as an Agatha Christie girly, but maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm projecting. I don't know.
Or an Hercule Poirot.
It sounds like roller skates, chocolate shakes, red lipstick kind of time. And I wish I was there.
Yeah. No. Agreed.
Just before Thanksgiving in 1946, Pearl was riding the subway when she met a man who introduced himself as Alan LaRue.
Okay.
Admittedly, she said later that he was very handsome. And had she not had such a busy social life at the time, she'd actually have taken him up on his offer to get a drink and talk sometime. But as quickly as she met him, she kind of forgot about him because she was busy. She had things to do and people to see. It was the big cité, you know?
City that never sleeps, and Pearl was awake.
Correct. But shortly after this, Pearl fell on some tough times.
Okay.
Right at Christmas, literally Christmas Eve by some sources, the department store had a massive layoff of workers.
Oh.
Where, you know, they had probably hired for the holiday season, and as that rush of people getting Christmas gifts came to an end, the department store did not need all of that staff. And a lot of it was seasonal work, you know, so some of them expected that it wasn't going to, maybe they thought they'd get through January, but this wasn't like, oh yes, this is my career here now. A lot of them had just picked it up because it was busy this time of year.
Right.
But of those to be laid off was 19-year-old Pearl Lusk.
Oh, Pearl.
But losing this job was more than just losing a job to her, because this job had given her financial freedom.
Yeah.
So now that is lacking. Freedom to have her living space as she wanted, because she wasn't following anyone else's rules, because she was able to afford to do that by herself and provide for herself.
Right.
But equally as important, nearly all of her social time was spent before, during, and after work and revolved around that job.
Yeah.
So she lost touch with the work friends she made because everyone had to go look for new jobs, probably new schedules, new people they're meeting. You got to keep up.
Right.
It wasn't like she had even had the time to make some super strong, long-lasting connections with a lot of these girls that she worked with. It was more that she was getting there.
Right. Kind of a whirlwind.
Yeah, and she was excited. She's part of a group. And, you know, they all kind of got laid off at the same time. And that was challenging. Now they all need to regroup, find a new job after every place in the city is having layoffs at, you know, around this time. And
right.
She's not exactly qualified to do
a ton.
Much else. You know, she's going to work that she's 19.
She's also a woman in like the 40s, 50s. Mm-hmm. So there aren't like a vast array of jobs that are just handed out to women.
Yeah. And I think she would have loved to have been a counter girl. You know, yeah. I think she would have loved to continue doing that. I don't know that that was like her passion for life, but I think it was paying the bills and offered her a lot of things that other maybe less social jobs wouldn't have offered.
And a really good sweet spot, not only for her age, but sort of everything that she was about. So she was outgoing. She was friendly. She was hardworking. I mean, I don't know. I'm interested in like beauty and makeup stuff. So to me, you know, hell yeah. Like I'll work for that and then get a discount there. Yes, please. And I'll hang out with my friends all day and say hi to random people who come in and suss out whether or not the boys are looking at the cologne or the perfume for their girlfriends. Mm-hmm. Did you say?
Oh, it's for your mom.
Oh, so well, let me help free? You with that.
Yes.
So, you know what I mean? Like, it just seems like it is perfect for her. And all of this at one time is such a whirlwind. Like, she can really get swept up in whatever this undertow is.
Exactly. Pearl was facing, I think, what so many even today struggle with in like late teens and 20s, where, again, making friends as an adult is hard. When you're a kid, you're friends with everyone.
Yeah.
You don't know a stranger. There's kids in the neighborhood. There's kids at school. There's kids in your dance class or your rec sport. There's your parents' friends' kids who became like family. There's, you know, cousins and your cousins' friends. And the list goes on. And it's easy and it's organic when those friendships are made. But as an adult, it's really weird. And it's like if you didn't know them before, you're not going to meet them later kind of thing.
For a lot of people, yeah.
And in the workforce, depending on your field, you may not work with anyone your age. That's true. Not uncommon. There's limited ways to meet new people. And even today, we're cautioned against meeting friends in the way that people used to. For example, I've never met someone at a mall and become friends.
True.
I don't want to. I've never met someone at a mall where I was like, I want to see you again.
Hold on. Give me your number.
You know?
Yeah.
And we're cautioned against doing that. This, you know, that idea. And safety wise, I completely understand it, but at the same time, it does make socializing weird, and Pearl's kind of running into this where that was her outlet.
Right.
And so losing this job was just a lot more than just losing a job.
Right. It's not just your hours worked go down each week.
So our girl Pearl was having a hard time.
Aww.
Because it was like in one moment she had it all, and then in another moment she didn't have any of it. And now she's kind of like, well, crap, I don't have money coming in. I don't have an income. So how am I going to afford my little shoebox apartment?
Right.
In the big city, in the Big Apple.
Right.
How am I going to do that when I don't have money coming in? So now I need to find a job and I need to find one fast. So Pearl was on the subway again, December 26th.
Okay.
So the day after Christmas, but 2 days after losing her job, she ran into the man she recalled as Alan LaRue.
Okay.
Again. This is now the second time.
Interesting.
This time she was in a different headspace, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You could say she was more down at that time. She was likely feeling a bit lonely. Her confidence had taken kind of a fall. And I bring up what she's feeling because throughout this whole situation, and even afterward, this is what she was experiencing. It's that kind of loneliness. She didn't have anyone to like bounce ideas off of, or did you think this is weird or anything like that, because she didn't have anybody around. So this was kind of a very vulnerable spot for her. So anyway, Alan LaRue notices her again, strikes up conversation with her again on the subway, and this time she's in a different headspace, right? Because she's not too busy for him. She's actually not busy at all.
Right.
So
she's trying to get busy.
You know, her confidence may have taken a bit of a hit, but she was primed for shooting his second shot.
Okay, fair.
Pun intended, but you're going to get that later.
Oh, rip.
She gave him the time of day that she didn't last time, and then they got to talking.
All right.
He took her to a bar in Times Square where he asked all about Pearl. And she thought that he seemed genuinely interested in her responses. He was handsome and seemed charming and told her what he did for work. And he said that basically he was this private investigator that worked for an insurance company. And that insurance company primarily insured jewelers. So when Jules went missing, it was his job to figure out what happened. And then, you know, if there was any shady, nefarious shit taking place, he needed to report that to police. So it was his job to be the investigator for the insurance company, basically, which, I mean, exists. Insurance companies have investigators. And that essentially, so the company didn't take a hit. He would investigate it. Once he found something, it was his role to submit that.
Yeah.
So he's telling her about what he does and he's listening to her woes. So he's like, Lou, look like you've fallen on tough times. And I reckon there's a way I could help you out. You see, would you like that? You know?
Yeah.
And he said there was a case that he was working on that he needed help with and thought that she'd do a great job and it was hers if she wanted it. And who knew? It paid decently. She'd get paid. You need money. I've got a job that pays money. So kind of works out.
Okay.
And at first, her gut kind of encouraged her not to. She's like, this is weird. But then she figured, what the hell? I'd love to help out this handsome man, and I'd also love to get paid, so.
Yeah, why not?
This all sounds like a great arrangement for
Two birds, one stone, yeah.
So how many of you, you true crime listeners, you wouldn't be tempted? I'm not saying you'd do it, but, you know, would you have considered it? Because I feel like at 19, I would have considered it. I don't know that I would have done it.
I would have considered it. I also like to just throw out there as a reminder, this is pre-internet. So me now, today, I would have considered it and Googled the fuck out of whoever this is. I do that for things that I'm not even working at.
But a private investigator job?
I would fucking love that.
Are you kidding me? I would have been all over that shit.
I was actually gonna say, like, and I the idea of a job just investigating like jewelry thieves sounds very fun,
doesn't it?
I think at this point in time, honestly, I might have done it, especially if I called a number and it seemed legit and like that was my sort of quote-unquote due diligence for the times. Yeah.
So I'd like to hear from you guys. Would you have taken him up on it? Because for Pearl, unfortunately, the book The Gift of Fear hadn't been written yet.
Truly.
So Pearl couldn't have known the importance of trusting her gut. So she agreed to hear more and learn what her role would be in helping him should she decide to do this, which she was essentially sold and was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. So Alan told Pearl of this woman. This woman's name was Olga.
Okay.
Olga worked as a secretary for a company in the city, but he said that she's the suspect in a recent jewel theft that he's investigating. But unfortunately, he's been on the case so long and he's kind of been trying to get a look at her to see if he can see the jewels on her or something. And so she already knows what he looks like.
So he can't suss it out, right?
So he's saying, she already knows me, my cover's blown, I need somebody who's going to be unsuspecting but who can be my eyes because I need to be able to get as many details as I can because I got to be able to give this to the police.
Right.
I really think she's the thief.
Help.
But I'm not going to be able to get close enough, so that's what your job is. So she's like, okay. So he said, you know, you need to get a really good look at her and memorize her face. Do everything you can to memorize her.
Okay.
So he said that Pearl's first task would be to go to the company that she worked for, ask to see somebody, give a fake name.
Right.
But either way, it would put her in contact with Olga.
Right.
Because Olga's the secretary. So, oh, who do you need to see? I need to see this person, kind of go back and forth. And he's like, study her face. Make sure you can recognize her, you know, in a crowd, let's say. Make sure you can do that. But also take a look and see, do you see any jewels on her? Is she wearing anything? Do you see anything tucked in clothing?
Right.
You need to be my eyes.
Big, flashy, all that. Yeah.
Right. He showed Pearl a photo of her. So he said, okay, you have this photo. Go in there. Memorize the photo, memorize her face, memorize what she's wearing, memorize her jewelry, come back out. That's task one. The case didn't have anything to do with the company Olga worked for. It just made it easy to send Pearl in there to see her in person.
Right.
And study her as best she could, just in case there's any confusion about, you know, the company. It had nothing to do with that, but she just pops in like just as if she's there to do for with
Olga.
Yes,
right.
Everything about Olga, because she's our girl. So she essentially went in, she sizes her up, she sees if she can notice anywhere it looked like she was hiding jewels, which is weird because how would you really know that? And yeah. Alan said, I can't go to the police yet because I need tangible evidence. They're not going to listen to me. They don't want to deal with it. I got to give them something.
That's an interesting thing for an investigator who allegedly has a good rapport with police to say.
Well, he's like, I know the laws and they know the laws and I need to give them something to investigate. Otherwise, there's no investigation.
That's fair.
And for some reason, Alan told Pearl Olga would have the jewels on her. So if she couldn't confirm the jewels were on her and see them like in pockets or in clothing or something like that, that they would need to find a new way.
Okay.
So Pearl completed this first task with ease. She went in, she confirmed it was Olga, talked to her, took an inventory of what she looked like, couldn't really see shit, and came out.
Right.
She told Alan that she could definitely pick her out in a crowd because that was part of her task. Pearl was feeling pretty good. She kind of got a bit of a thrill out of feeling like she was sneaking undercover.
Right.
But I'm sure that part of her felt like she was doing good to help solve a theft case.
Of course.
She's getting money. She's helping this hot guy. She feels like she's doing something that is, you know, beneficial and, you know, she's doing good.
Right.
So then we get to task two. Because Alan did seem very pleased with her work, which I assume added to the thrill for Pearl.
Right.
And he told her, take a few hours, go have your afternoon, do what you want to do, meet me back at my apartment later. This is the address. So she went, I think she caught a movie with a friend.
Yes,
she got
girl.
Some other stuff done, probably called her mom, hung out. And then in the afternoon, she popped on over to his apartment and was like, okay, what's going on for task two?
Right.
So Alan said, okay, in order to prove my suspicion, because I do think I'm right, we're going to need a photo. So he said that he has this X-ray camera in a box.
Okay.
It's 1946. He said that he has this X-ray camera in this box. And it was all set up gently and intricately. And I don't think that he took it apart to show her how it was set up, but he just like presented this box to her. It looked like a shoebox.
Right.
And just said, okay, it's all set up in here. So you just need to be able to get a good angle.
Okay.
And I'll show
Snap,
you.
Snap. And you're good. Yeah.
So he's got the box. He shows her the box. And he shows her that there's this little wire that ran out from the bottom of the box.
Mm-hmm.
And this box, again, looked like a shoebox, but it was wrapped in brown paper. It just looked like she had a package, like she was going to go deliver
right.
it. And on one side of the box, there was a hole in it. Where you could see what looked like a camera lens sort
okay.
of up against it. And then there was that wire. So he said, you have to get close to Olga. And when you get in a good spot, aim the lens and then pull the wire. And when you pull the wire, it's going to take the picture.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds great.
And then once this was done, they were going to get together again. And he would go have the photo developed. And then he was hopeful that if the photo was good enough, to tell if she had the jewels, right? Then that's where they could wrap this up. If not, they would move on to the next task. They would have to find a new way,
okay.
right? So he said the best time to do it is wait until she's off the train. Get as close as you can. So you're going to have to get on the train where she is. Know that this is her stop. This is where mm-hmm. she normally gets off. When she gets off, you get off. Get as close to you can, as close as you can, like a few feet away. Aim the lens, pull the wire.
Yeah.
So he said, if you let her see you, your cover is going to be blown, which means my cover is blown. So don't do it while on the train. Don't make this super obvious. So she listened. She spotted Olga. She rode the same train. She got off the stop with her, got close to her, aimed the box, pulled the wire, and she believed that it had taken a photo.
Yeah.
So she brought the box back to Alan. And she hadn't opened it. She hadn't really touched it or anything. That wasn't part of the
right.
instructions. So she goes to him. She said, okay, I got close enough. And he had a lot of questions. So they meet at this bar. And he's like, okay, how close did you get? What did you see? Did you think that the angle was good? And Pearl was like, yeah, no, I did everything just like we talked about. He was very, you know, hell-bent on these details, right? She's like, I wasn't seen. I wasn't suspected. She didn't know. It went great. Alan was very pleased with this.
Okay.
And while it was exciting and cool for Pearl, I think his praise went a long way too, and she was just eager to help. So he took the box from her, and he was going to go have it developed, and they'd meet tomorrow to talk about the results. That was kind of how they left it.
Nice.
So the night passed, and the next day, Pearl went to his apartment.
Okay.
Which was agreed upon. And that's when he told her that, unfortunately, no, the photo did not come out good enough. The x-ray photo did not get a clear enough picture where he might be able to see the jewels.
Wow.
In her clothing. Very odd, because he's very convinced she stole the jewels like some time ago, right? But she's got to carry them with her
like, at
all
times.
She's always got that thing on her, you know, like she's got them with her.
She's got them jewels in her, you know?
You know? And like they're in these little pockets, like around her waist or, you know, not in her handbag, not in a shoe.
Sewn into the lining of clothing.
Yeah, that or just tucked into pockets or something that she has. So he's very convinced of this. And he's also convinced that she has it on her at all times, which is just very odd things to be convinced of. But okay, Alan.
Also, and now I know that I'm picking up on this from like a today lens, but if you're working for an insurance company, I would think that all of your business would not be done out of your apartment.
Well, that's kind of, you know, I would think that too, right? But, you know.
What do I know? Anyway.
No, we get it. Trust me. Couldn't agree more. He said that she did great. Awesome. It must have been an issue with the camera because she did awesome.
Great. Good to know.
So he was going to get a better camera.
Oh, okay.
So he just said he needed a few days to get all of that in order. He would call her back, regroup. He would make sure that this camera was like the best that money could buy.
Good.
And they would give it a shot again. Okay.
If only he could actually buy technology that could do this. At that time.
Only if that existed, which is really cool. So New Year's Eve.
Okay.
So this all happened within 1 week.
10. Mm-hmm. 9. Anyway.
No, keep going. I want you to.
8.
So New Year's Eve, they spoke over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked Pearl to meet with him at a laundromat that was local, which was fine. She said yes. He had got this new camera, he told her, and that this one should work better. It was more expensive. It was different. And that's why it has a new box. It's heavier. Ooh. It's different, right? So this box was different. It was wrapped in like holiday wrapping paper. So it didn't look, it wasn't the brown paper.
Right.
That
it's the a little
other
flashier.
One. Yeah. It just, it was wrapped differently. It didn't look like she was carrying the same package 2 different days.
Nice.
Essentially. But he gave her the box and she's like, "Ooh, it's like so much bigger and so much heavier. That's so weird." So she wasn't struggling to hold it, but it was a noticeable difference. It was not the same size as the other one. And he said, "This time you need to be better about aiming the box at her waist."
Okay.
And Pearl asked why, and he said that he had reason to believe she was hiding the jewels there, like in her waist area. And so it needed to be captured on camera.
She loves a bedazzled undie. All right.
Like, she's wearing a corset right now.
Yeah.
And in every lace, there's a jewel. Essentially, like, what he's saying.
That's so fucked. Okay, anyway.
So, he's saying this one works the same as before. You're going to pull this wire. You're going to aim this lens. Mm. It's all going to work out the way that it should. But you need to get on the train with her, get off at her stop while she's walking, approach her, do the same exact thing you did last time. You did great. The other picture came out bad. This one's going to be perfect. Okay. I've got no doubt. Okay. So she did it all like she did before. Except this time when she got close to Olga and she pulled the wire, the camera box jerked back and she heard a very loud boom.
Mm-hmm.
And then panic ensued because it's, you know, a subway station essentially, and there's hundreds of people around, and a crowd formed and took off, and people are all over the place. And when Pearl could kind of gather her thoughts a little bit, she looked for Olga and she couldn't see her, and then she looked down and Olga was on the ground holding her severely injured leg in a pool of her own blood. Subway security rushed over and asked what happened. And Pearl was probably one of the last people still standing there who hadn't run away. She was just in shock.
Right.
And Pearl said, I took a photo of her and someone shot her at the same time.
Aww. She doesn't know.
She's got no idea. So the security officer grabs the box and opens it.
Right.
And inside is a sawed-off shotgun.
Of course.
So they're like, what? So they're like, what happened? What happened? And she's just like, I need to take a picture of her. It was for the jewels. It was, you know, and she's panicking. She's very upset. And she just kept saying, I just took a picture. What happened? I only took her picture. She's thinking she took a picture.
Yeah.
There was never a picture, Pearl.
I know.
Damn it, Pearl. You poor thing. Poor. Ugh. So Pearl apologizes profusely.
Right.
And she's talking to Olga. Like, Olga's on the ground holding her leg, and, you know, medical attention's been called and everything like this, and, you know, Pearl's just pleading with her. She's like, I'm so sorry. I had no idea. I didn't mean to shoot you in the leg. I didn't mean to hurt you. And Olga didn't really respond to Pearl. She didn't have anything nasty to say, but she wasn't really focused on Pearl.
She had other priorities. Yeah.
So before Pearl was taken away in handcuffs, and she was.
Okay.
She heard Olga say, this time he got me. He can have me now if he wants me.
Ooh. Ominous.
Okay. So who is our suspected jewel thief turned gunshot victim, you ask?
Yeah, who the hell is Olga?
Olga Trapani met and dated Alphonse Rocco for 1 year and married him in 1945.
Okay.
Almost immediately, this relationship was abusive. Al Rocco was involved in organized crime. Some articles called him a gangster. I think he was in waste management, but that's just me.
Wink, wink.
He was out of town often. Sometimes he had a lot of money. Other times he had no money. Italian, handsome, had a temper, wasn't social.
Got it.
Enough said, right?
Tony Soprano.
Olga's family was not a fan of him. Not just because they didn't like him, but because they didn't know anything about the guy. They're like, okay, we know he's like of Italian heritage.
Right.
We know how tall he is. We know what he looks like. But what he does for work, where he grew up, what his interests are, like, nothing.
Right.
They knew nothing about him. So, like, how can you like a guy you don't know? And he married our daughter. And he wasn't too great to her. Some sources say that he grew up in an orphanage and then was, like, moving home to home with no real background.
Interesting.
And this is what he told them. This isn't even, like, the truth. This is just, like, some sources say he's like, yeah, I don't have parents. I don't know my parents. I grew up here. Okay. And then I was home to home and I was this and here and there. And so there was never a solid backstory on him.
Right.
And it's really hard to be like, so what did your parents do for work? If he's like, I didn't know them.
Yeah.
He's like, so
which set?
Exactly. Yeah. So this is just kind of what he said. But to be honest, I don't even think that's the case.
Right.
By late summer, early fall, the couple were separated. So this was after 1 year.
Okay.
So October 1946. Remember, this is just months before.
Got it.
Al pulled a knife on Olga.
Al.
And this happened at a train station, ironically. And he ordered her into his car, where he then drove her to a motel, forced her to undress, and then hid her clothing from her.
Oh my gosh.
And then told her that if she didn't come back to him, he'd kill her. Because again, they were separated. So he's like, basically abducts her, traumatizes her, humiliates her, and then scares her and is like, you need to, like, you're coming home. She was terrified, and she was held in this motel for 2 days.
Olga.
Until she was able to convince him to let her go and bring her back to the city. And he did. And once she was there, she ran from him and went to her parents' house because she didn't know what else to do.
Of course.
So by November 1946, Al shot at her through a window while she was at her parents' house.
What?
Yeah.
fucking guy.
So she's like setting the table for dinner with her mom.
Yeah.
And a gunshot is fired. You know, a bullet comes flying through the kitchen. And he was trying to hit her. But anyone else could have gotten hurt. Luckily, nobody was.
That is not very Gabba cool.
It.
Sorry.
I really like that one.
Thanks.
I can't say she wasn't hurt. It like skimmed her leg.
Okay.
My understanding is she had like a cut from it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't this injury that was going to.
It wasn't like a significant injury. It didn't go like through her. It brazed her.
Yes. My understanding is grazed that her. Some sources say that the slug was still lodged in her leg. And I don't think that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think, I mean, she was injured by this, but she was lucky that it didn't cause harm. You know, he was trying to kill her. So that
she got like a flesh wound.
Correct.
Yeah. It's but a flesh wound.
Twas. Weeks later, after this incident, when she finally returned to work, she got a call at work. And when she picked it up, it was him telling her that he'd aimed wrong the first time, but he wouldn't miss again.
Fucking guy.
Which is terrifying. And he told her that he knew where she worked and when she was home, where she was at all times.
He knows when you're awake.
He did. She saw him in crowds in the city. So when she was getting on the train, off the train, she would just kind of see him. And she was like, how the hell does he know where I am all the time?
Poor Olga. Oh my gosh.
Just taunting her. That was just to let her know that he could be there. That right. He knew where she was.
That he was in control, yes, of this. Ew.
All of these situations were brought to police attention. And whether it wasn't reported accurately or the police didn't do their jobs, I don't know. My guess is that they didn't believe her.
Mm-hmm.
Olga fought for them to help her. And it always seemed like she just wasn't made a priority.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they thought there wasn't any risk, or worse, he used his connections, which he had, to get them to lay off.
Yeah.
You know, he's got some, I'm assuming, dangerous connections.
Well, by all other things that you said, it sounds possible.
So, I don't know. There's no evidence of that. I'm just being an armchair detective. Mm-hmm. All I know is Jake Peralta would never let this happen, okay?
So true.
Okay. One time, Olga saw him in a crowd, and she was terrified. And so she went up to the security officer that was, like, in the train station.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked if she could just stand with him because she was afraid. And he said no.
Ew.
Like, what the fuck? Like, your security. Secure, preserve, protect, serve, all of that, right? And so I won't pretend to know NYPD's policies. I'm not sure if they patrol the subway or if that's like a different detail, hired company. I don't know. I don't know how it works now, and I definitely don't know how it worked in the 40s, but whether it was a law enforcement officer or a member of security, to me, that's unacceptable.
Absolutely.
Apparently, he said that she couldn't stand there because where he was on the stairs, and she's like, can I stand right next to you? And he said, no, you can't stand on the stairs. Like, it's not safe. Don't stop on the subway stairs. Like, weird. Don't okay. stop as people are coming and going. Apparently, that was something, but really, you couldn't have come off the stairs or something or gotten someone to help her, you asshole.
Right.
That's how I feel.
And if he's standing on the stairs, clearly people are going around him. So if she was right next to him, it's not going to really disrupt more of the flow of traffic. But what do I know?
Yeah, what
I'm
do we
know? I'm just a woman who's tried to stay alive in this world.
Correct.
Yeah.
They were officially divorced November 1946.
Okay.
Weird shit continues, and then 3 days before she was shot, he went to her family's home and called out to her that he would kill her and then himself.
Oh, stable. Good. He could also use a therapist. Is this like actually Tony Soprano?
I don't think Dr. Melfi was going to help this guy. And you'll see why. Because she told police and they told her that she shouldn't worry. They will escort her to work. They will escort her home. And so there is no risk to her.
Except the last time she got shot at, she was in her home, not on her way to work. So
correct. But they never did. They didn't escort her there or home or anything
what
like that.
What the fuck?
In fact, actually, her sister walked her to work.
Oh.
And on the 31st, the day that she was shot with the x-ray camera, the police were nowhere to be found.
Great.
So there's that. So we're going to leave that there. Because meanwhile, back with Pearl, she's being interrogated.
Yeah.
Because you just shot a woman.
In a box.
That she did. Yep. She had shot an innocent woman, and there were some questions that needed answers.
I'd say so.
They opened up the box and they could see that there were two cream cheese boxes, and it was boxes, not like little containers, which is very weird to me, but you can see photos of it. And it kind of pins the gun in between it, and so it must have been when she pulled the wire, it was able to pull the trigger.
Got it.
So it like needed force, and then of course it jerked up, but that was right. She didn't have a handle on it. It was just shooting at her. And so they had all of this, and they could see like how it was set up. It was very intricate in the way that it worked. And I'm not sure if, because this is my sort of view of it, if that first quote-unquote camera he used, whether that was an attempt gone wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I need to revisit and make a new one or something like that, which is why he needed a few days to get the other camera.
Right.
Or if he just wanted to see if she would do it in the first place. If he just wanted to test her, because that's kind of what I come down to. Either he tried and it failed, mm-hmm. and he was kind of shocked that it failed, or he just wanted to see that she would do it in the first place. If she would follow through, approach her, pull a string.
Right. And then leave.
And then leave and come and report it to him. If she would do that, she could probably be trusted with this package to not open it.
Right. Well, and I would say I'll offer a secret option C where mm-hmm. there is a camera in there, but just to see if she does in fact have aim. And she has the right person.
Possible.
But I don't think I am closer. Like, I'm more on board with the idea that it was an attempt gone wrong. Especially if, you know, it didn't come out right. And that's the whole thing. And now we have to wait for a new one. And, like, pretty sure you're not getting a new firearm for this.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, what did you need to like run to the store, get the Philadelphia cream cheese or store brand? I don't know. Ugh. Isn't he's it? Slimy. Okay.
But he had her hooked. She did it. She did it all just for him.
Right.
So anyway, they've had a moment to look at this box and see how it was set up. And they're asking her questions. And she knew nothing about how this was set up because she wasn't the one to set this up. And she said that from the start. She was beside herself.
Yeah.
She told them everything. She told them about her job at the department store and how she was newly unemployed and that she met this private investigator who had a job for her. And she was always interested in that kind of thing because, you know, she read those detective books and those mystery novels. And CJ that was cool. Girly. And it was kind of like this in real life, and how cool is that? And she agreed because he had a job for her and she needed a job, and so this worked out, and he was kind of cute. So
win, up until right now when I accidentally shot that lady.
Yeah, up until 30 minutes ago things were going great,
right?
You know, so she denied knowing any plans for harming Olga. She simply thought she was taking a photo,
right?
Which, just taking a step here, not the lens, I'm sure she was looking at it through, but let's just pretend that this x-ray camera was possible. Don't be taking a picture of me in my little skivvies.
Right?
Like, ma'am.
Consent is mandatory.
Please?
Also, like,
what are you, TSA? Damn.
I know. It's also, like, and what if she did have jewels lining? And, like, what is that to say that that's those jewels? But
yeah,
also,
what if that's my underboob jewel? Like, fuck off.
Come on. Have you not heard of the Romanov execution? Where they all sewed jewels into their clothing for like a little extra bulletproofness. Like, insanity. Anyway, sorry. If you guys want to check that out, that's episode 1. But
or on second thought, don't.
Yeah. You probably should just take our word for it. But you can also, you know, look all that stuff up. This is just wild to me. Like,
it is. It's like I figure like Alan LaRue, the private detective, right? Yep. This random ass guy is like, well, I mean, yeah, it's just, you know, her jewels, these ones I know are stolen because like I have my lucky taint
right.
emerald.
Ooh.
That I keep there.
It looks like a ball sack, and she's a lady, so she wouldn't have one of those.
And so I'm just assuming, you know, she has hers in her ass crack. Just like something unreal that right. I imagine. Whatever. So anyway. Pearl tells them all of this. And good. She is, again, very upset.
Right. Because she just shot a woman that she thought she was taking like a cute little evidence photo of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Even though... if anyone ever asks you to take a photo of someone, first of all, don't. Second of all, if it's x-ray, that's just like really creepy.
Also like how... Anyway.
Don't do sorry, me like
I'm
that.
Thinking about this with like a current day evidence.
I know.
Admission lens. And I'm like, I don't think that would actually work as evidence. But anyway.
That's fruit of the poisonous tree. You can't do that. Okay. Anyway. Police show Pearl a photo of a couple. A man and a woman who looked happy. The woman she recognized as Olga Rocco.
Nice.
But Pearl saw the man and she's like, yeah, that's Alan LaRue. That's the private investigator who hired me.
Right.
So it was only at this time that Pearl found out that Alan LaRue's real name was Alphonse Rocco and that she was Olga's ex-husband who had been threatening her and had already tried to kill her.
Cute. Oh, Pearl. Poor Pearl. Poor Olga.
I know.
Ew. This sucks. Okay.
I believe Pearl. I really do. I don't think that... I didn't see any sources that were like she was in on it because she had nothing to gain from this. It did not sound like she was this kind of girl.
No, it seemed like she was naive and in a vulnerable spot and he took advantage of that.
Right. But I also think in hindsight... carrying packages for strangers, no matter how well intended, is a big no. But I think her age, her desperation, her innocence just made her a perfect target for someone like him.
Right.
Where he knew he could play off his charm.
Well, and even like just different results of the times. Like we live in a post 9/11 world where every time you go to the airport, you get everything searched and you can't leave your bags alone. This was not even a blip in anyone's eyes back then. And she was probably just, you know, really trying to do the right thing. And it really ended up trusting the wrong person.
Right. And that's not to say that he isn't the cause of all of this. But when we look at things, we can learn from certain situations. Right. It's on all of us to question.
Be diligent about the things you do.
Yeah. Yeah. Say no when you want to say no. Don't be forced into doing something you don't want to do. If it feels wrong, it probably is.
Yeah, and if your gut tells you not to, the worst thing you do is say no to an opportunity that might have been okay, but really could have gone wrong.
That's all I have to say.
Anywho.
Olga's injury to her leg was so severe that unfortunately she had to have her left leg amputated.
Oh, Olga.
But she survived it. She made a full recovery.
Good.
She told investigators the entire history from the bed in her hospital room, basically. She laid there. She's recovering from this surgery. She's doing well, surprisingly. Right. There was a close call there in the beginning when they were really trying this, but she just had, the damage was so severe and she was in so much pain
right.
that they were able to do it. It was a successful surgery.
Hey.
She came out. She was doing well. And investigators also believed Pearl, especially based on Olga's side of things and all of the things that have happened right. in the history and his attempts, that no charges were filed against Pearl.
Oh, good.
Like, they dropped all of that. So that's awesome.
Actually awesome, because that's a trauma in and of itself.
Yes. A man kept calling the rooming house Pearl lived in, calling for Pearl, and asked for her, but he didn't leave a name. So we don't know if it was Al. It's assumed that it was Al.
Yeah.
More attention into his background revealed to investigators that he was no stranger to crime.
Yeah.
Though he was only 28.
Dang.
I don't know why I pictured him as like a rugged 35.
Same. I also kind of pictured him like a plump banker
vibe. I pictured him kind of hot.
Oh.
He was hot.
Okay.
But 28? Damn, I wasn't expecting that. But his criminal history included car theft, disorderly conduct, and more.
Yeah.
It just, this was not his first run-in, basically.
No.
Anyone around or related to Al Rocco was interviewed because they needed to have all of the information they possibly could.
Right.
But everyone that they talked to said the same exact thing. Haven't seen him.
Okay.
A man named Alan Lamonte introduced himself when he went to the home of Dominic Rizzo.
Okay.
It can get a little bit confusing. So Dominic Rizzo was neighbors with Al Rocco's first cousin.
Okay.
So this Al guy.
Cousin Christopher?
Right. So Al. Alan Lamonte.
Al.
Says, I'm a friend of your wife's brother.
Yeah.
So I'm a friend of your brother-in-law. I have a lot of tools, but I'm supposed to give them to your brother-in-law. I don't need them, but I'm supposed to get them to him.
Right.
So the wife called her brother and said, hey, there's an Alan Lamonte with tools to give you. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's great.
Okay.
I don't remember an Alan Lamonte, but I will definitely take the tools. So however he wants to leave them for me is great.
Good for him.
Well, this Alan Lamonte was not Alan Lamonte.
Yeah, no shit.
We know who it is, right?
He's not good at picking, like, creative names.
Not even a little bit. And no. Why does everything have to be an Alan? Like, are you so committed to the bit? Can you just pick a different name?
Literally. Also, You Can Call Me Al is a great song, but not everyone can be Al. Al.
Seriously, Al. Get with it, Al.
Come on.
So basically, all of that to say, this guy was like, I don't know an Alan Lamonte, but I think the tools sound great. So
yeah,
the green light, go ahead. So they're like, okay. So long story short, Alan Lamonte, or as you may recall him, Alan LaRue, or as you may recall him, Alphonse Rocco, took the car and drove to the Catskills.
Okay.
And was with them, like was with this couple.
Okay.
And so they stop at like some place to eat because they're going to get the tools. They're driving him to go pick up these tools. And he's like, hey, listen, if you guys want to finish eating, where the tools are is actually right up the road. If I can just take the car, I'm going to go grab them, swing back, pick you up, and we can go home.
Nice.
And they were like, yeah, cool. Why go not? Ahead. And then he left and then he didn't come back.
Yeah, of course.
And they're like, ooh, who knew?
If someone you don't know offers you something they weren't going to give you, it might not be legit.
Correct. They obviously reported the car stolen.
Good.
And were able to identify that this Alan Lamonte was really Al Rocco,
right,
who was their suspect that they were looking for anyway. So, okay, they've got kind of a lead. State police were actually hot on his trail because he left the stolen car on the side of the road.
Okay.
So they knew he was on foot now. He broke into a home, held the couple inside at gunpoint.
Cute.
Said that he was staying indefinitely. He was like, I will be staying here as long as I want to stay here. And then he just left, which is fine.
Okay.
A few hours later, he was like, yep, and goodbye. So he's like,
and that's as long as I wanted to stay. Your food sucks.
Correct. He goes, you don't make the sauce right. So when police got to that couple's house, they were like, he went that-a-way.
Good.
And so they started that-a-way. And eventually they found him sleeping under a large tree in a sleeping bag.
Okay, Al.
He was encouraged to surrender, but he refused. Which, did you think anything other than that would happen? Because I didn't. State police fired a warning shot.
Mm-hmm.
And in return, he shot at police.
So
like
dumb.
Directly at them, not up at them. So then they shot back at him.
Right.
And obviously he died.
Yeah, they won.
When Olga was told that her ex-husband was dead, she laughed.
Oh.
And then she cried.
Yeah.
And then she said she would finally get to sleep.
Oh, Olga.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so heinous.
So Olga filed a $200,000 lawsuit against NYPD because despite her many reports and pleas for help and protection, she was still harmed.
Yeah.
And in 1953, her case was actually dismissed on the grounds that the police could not predict nor protect her from the attack because it wasn't Al himself. It was Pearl, and he was acting through someone else.
Okay.
So they're like, yes, we had a duty to protect you from him, but he wasn't the actor here.
Okay.
And how could we possibly know that he would use this woman who he doesn't know
right.
to attack you? We don't owe you that, which I think is horse shit. I can see the logic, I guess.
No, I think it's a fine rebuttal, but it has nothing to do with
leading police up to
or
that?
Security yeah. that won't let you stand with them, that won't actually help you with things, that overpromise and underdeliver. Like, those are real tangible moments of negligence. And correct, they can't identify a stranger who may have happened to run into her ex-husband. But what they can do is actually help her when she says she needs help.
Mm-hmm. And it makes me wonder, I mean, I'm not a police officer. I'm not a police officer in New York City, and I'm not one from the 40s. So yep. I can imagine with like the millions of people that are there, I don't know what their staffing was like. I don't know what kind of surveillance you were able to do at that time. The X-ray camera didn't exist, IRL. Mm-hmm. So what kind of surveilling could you do on him? I don't exactly know.
Right.
Because you'd have no reason or excuse to talk to Pearl. Or, like, grab her, like, the package she was carrying or anything. So, I really don't know how they would go about lawfully keeping Pearl away from her. Because Pearl was not the perceived threat.
Right.
But, ultimately, they ended up giving her a big, fat goose egg.
Yeah.
And everything got dismissed. I understand that in that particular instance, the police might actually have been watching him.
Right.
And so while this happened, they could have had eyes on him.
Who knows?
Right? We don't know. And there was really no reason to believe Pearl was involved. But like up until 4 days before that.
That like, argument
it was only
works for 4 days of the entire abuse.
Yeah, it was.
That Olga like, faced.
Pearl was involved for like a handful of days.
Right.
But before that, there was an entire like set of months.
Right.
I mean, before that, he was abusing her. I don't think that was reported. I think family knew that.
Right.
They separated, then divorced. And then that was the catalyst that started him into this like frenzy.
Yeah.
And it was in those times that she needed the help. I don't think that she could have been protected from the Pearl. Camera gun no, thing. But
nobody could. If she had misaimed, it probably never would have come out. You know what I mean? I think, again, I'm with you. I follow the logic. I understand there are limited resources and times and people and technology and the lack thereof at this point. But man, that ain't your job. Like, you got to do your actual job, which is to serve and protect. And that you failed on at least half of that.
Correct.
For Olga.
Yes.
And 4 days out of multiple months, certainly years of abuse, that is not a good enough defense for the entire time period.
Mm-mm.
No.
So, I guess NYPD or the state of New York or whatever it was won that and okay. she didn't receive a payout from that. But I want to end on a positive note.
Okay.
Because Olga and Pearl became friends through this.
Yes, I was really hoping.
And they stayed in touch.
Oh.
Olga designed and sold costume jewelry, which I think is hilarious considering
that is so
jewels.
Funny. That's probably why he made that the excuse.
Could have been. And
anyway.
Pearl met a man.
Ooh.
Got married and had four children.
A non-murderous man.
Correct.
Beautiful.
So she went on to be a happy mom of four and wife and was Cute. Able to put that behind her. Olga had a full, happy life. She was so much happier without him.
Good.
There's photos of her and like her crutches and everything. Mm-hmm. It's adorable. And she had like prosthetics and everything. Like things.
Oh, damn.
She worked. She wanted to work. She did what she wanted to do. She designed and sold, you know, like she yeah. made things that she wanted. And she had this freedom that she wasn't going to have with Al around.
Right.
And unfortunately, he had to die for that. And there was no justice served. He didn't answer to that.
No.
Because he didn't have to answer to anybody. He went out the way he
wanted.
But I think it's pretty amazing that Olga and Pearl met under really tragic, awful circumstances, and then they remained friends for years.
Women really have the range. But also, like, all the best friends start with, like, a little animosity.
I think that's hilarious.
Like, when we first met, I thought she hated me. It's like, yeah, me too. You shot me in the leg.
Yep. Like, don't think I won't do it again.
I know. You still got another.
Like, but it's very so sweet how it ended up going. So this case still has its share of
shit and trauma, for sure.
Fuckery.
Yeah.
But I like how it ended, and the only person that died was the person who I'm not thrilled when anybody dies, but if it had to be any of the three players, I think the one trying to kill everybody would be that one.
That's okay. Yeah.
I would say that one. So that is the attempted accidental assassin.
I love that.
Thank you.
It was very fun to sort of get one that's like a little removed from the times, like it's a little more distant. And
a little whodunit,
a little you know.
I'm sorry, what?
I guess that's like my 40s voice. Who knew?
Oh,
but
I didn't know the Muppets were from the. Oh no,
I don't know. I don't know why I thought that was a Muppet sound. I'll be real with you, you guys. My brain's fried, but this was a good one. I really enjoyed listening.
Thank you.
I hope you guys did too. And do we have photos for this one?
We do.
Okay. So even though it's from the 40s,
they had cameras.
I'm sure we didn't have the X-ray images.
No, we do not have those, unfortunately.
But if you do want to see the people, the places, the things from this case, you can check out our Instagram. While you're there, you can take a look at our pod pets and all of our other posts and memes and resources and all of that. But you'd have to go to Instagram and look up About Time for True Crime Pod with periods in between every word. So that would be ABOUT.TIME.FOR.TRUE.CRIME.POD because podcast was too long. But Allie, if they wanted to send something that was longer than what Instagram would allow, or I don't know, they just really wanted to like type us a letter, where could they do that?
So if you wanted to do any of those things, or if you don't have an Instagram and you just feel like reaching out, please do. You can do that to about time4tc@gmail.com. So that's ABOUT.TIME4tc@gmail.com.
Thank you again for listening to another episode of your favorite podcast. And if I do look at my watch, that was
About Time for True Crime.
Bye.